sugar and spine. I feel nice, a sugar and spine. So nice, so nice, I got you.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel. Floyd is on assignment, but with us, as always, the man who knows everything, Mr. Smart and Pants.
I'm very happy today, Mel. I just have to tell you, first of all, when I came in and put my arm down in the giant headphone barrel to look for headphones, because that's what we do here. You know,
right.
It's like there's iron claws.
Yeah. Well, this time of year, they put them in a big thing of cider, and we bob for them.
I actually got some good ones this week, so I'm just very excited about that.
And this is the even Steven thing. I've got a terrible sense.
Well, I grabbed yours out of the way.
Apparently. Oh, that was so, it. Yeah. So you got mine.
And the second thing is, I'm so excited because it's the Mel and Pants reunion show. So it's like
we've been together for a while.
We've taken a lot of time off here, so it's good to see you.
Yeah,
and you had some adventures last week, and
I went to Iowa and Missouri.
Yeah, that's what we call an adventure in the Midwest.
You know, just to experience some different cultures.
Yeah, something just unusual.
You know, instead of a quick trip, they have a quick stop.
The Red Owl or something. Yeah, right, exactly.
The Winn-Dixie if you get far enough south.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
But they do have convenience stores, kind of quick trip type places along the highway in Iowa.
Yeah.
And the brand name is Come and Go.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of Diddy. But we had a great show last week. I don't want to, you know, it's not like we rested on our laurels or anything. But Ruby and I had a lot of fun. But it's always I'm always glad to see you come back.
Yeah, well, good. Thank
you. And you brought Clopsy this time,
Clopsy
too.
Clopsy came in.
Who was also quite a treat.
He was lonely, so I brought him in this week. He's sitting at my feet.
How
can
you tell when he's lonely? What does he do?
He just looks sad. Well, he missed me. I was gone for, you know.
Oh, right, of course. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Quite a few days.
You've been a bad daddy. That's
right. He's so funny. I mentioned this, I think, on the air with Ruby 1 week, but when Clopsy sees me packing a suitcase, he gets really sad.
Sure.
And one night, he was hiding, when I was going somewhere, he was hiding in the closet. He never does that. And so I had to pull him out, but he went right back in there.
Imagine he could see you packing with two eyes. He'd be doubly sad. So Clopsy, for people who aren't regular listeners, is your dog. It's an adorable dog, but he is a one-eyed dog.
He only has one eye, right in the middle of his forehead.
Hence his name, yes, exactly. He's a special breed.
Friend of mine that I met up with listens to the show from remotely, and he said, "Do you have any pictures of Clopsy? You talk about him so much." And
we got a few.
I showed him a photo of Clopsy, and he was, "Oh, I thought he was hideous. He's cute." Sweetie, he's cute.
I think one eye works for him. I think so.
He's made it work for him.
he's cute, and he gets the pity that he needs.
That's exactly.
We usually just go for pity, but he's branched it out there.
Yeah, but exactly. Recently I've started going to the Oregon swimming pool.
Okay,
to do some rehab on.
Oh, that's right, because you had surgery. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm walking. I'm one of those people who walks in the pool now because I'm not cleared to swim yet. But so I do this. I'm like the dork who walks in the lap
buoyant.
Lane.
Yeah.
And but anyway, but I was packing my bag to go to the gym the first time.
Yeah.
You know, throwing the towel and the swimsuit in there.
Sure.
And
yeah.
zipped it up, and Clopsy went and hid in the closet.
Oh.
He thought I was leaving.
Oh.
Back in 2 hours.
See, that's the problem with having pets. You can't tell them that. Back in 2 hours.
Set a timer on your watch, Clopsy, on your phone. Yeah. Same thing. So I don't know. I missed a few things in Madison while I was going. Kamala was here.
She
visited with 10,000 of her closest friends, I guess.
Yeah, Companion and I went with our good friend Laurel, and Laurel was there, and she was in. We love Laurel, and she loves politics. That's the thing about Laurel. She is activated by that. So our friend Laurel was there, and she is really like. you know, a hog and crab. You know? Yay. And in fact, that week she'd also, Doris Kearns Goodwin was in town.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And
our
friend went out to get Doris's new book, which I have a copy of, but I did not get mine signed. And our friend Laurel did get her signed. And there's she sent us a picture of her absolutely, both of them absolutely beaming in each other's presence. So that was... that was very fun. But yeah, Kamala was she's a good speaker, and people were excited. And of course, as I mentioned last week,
did she talk about sharks at all?
She did not.
Sharks
she stayed away from...
because we've got the four lakes here. They could be teeming with,
you know,
great whites.
I'm sure she has pet peeves. Who doesn't? But she kind of keeps them to herself. That's one of the things
I like
about her.
Where does she stand on how many times you have to flush the toilet?
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? The thing that she did that really wowed me, and you know, people say, well, what's her policy? What's her program? It's like, all you have to do is see what she's doing, and you know what her program is. She was introduced by the head of the Teamsters Union in Wisconsin. Of course, the national organization has not endorsed a candidate, which, like, shoot yourself in the head, why don't you?
Yeah.
But yeah, is that he, and it surprised everybody. Like, when the Teamsters chief came out, he said, now from the, you know, Federation of, you know, Teamsters or whatever. And there was like this kind of like tepid applause. You know? Like, yeah, those guys. Yeah. But then he gave a really rip-snorting speech, said he was, that they were endorsing the Wisconsin chapter.
That's happened a lot of places since the national organization declined.
And then he introduced her.
Yeah.
That no one expected that.
Yeah.
And he was like, now the next president.
Yeah. So
like,
I mean, so they've been building it at the more of the local level.
But
so
you want to know what this person stands for. The head of the Teamsters introduced her.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think we can guess she's pro-labor.
And Trump has offered to, or has floated the idea of Elon Musk being the like Secretary of Treasury or something.
Melon Husk?
Yeah.
That's right. You want to have Scrooge McDuck as Secretary of Commerce. I mean, what?
Trump did say he was explaining the crypto the other day.
Oh yeah, I'm sure that was edifying
for people who didn't understand it. He could put it at that you know third grade level that people would understand. He said you just take a piece of paper and write, you know, and get rid of the national debt by writing $37 billion in or $1 trillion whatever it is in crypto, and then then the debt's paid off.
Well, that's why he ended up in bankruptcy court so many times. Sorry, that doesn't work, Mr. Trump.
He probably knows about writing IOUs.
Yeah. You know, he's very good at that.
Yeah, yes, so. Although he doesn't put many things in writing. So.
Yeah. Well, or you can't read it if he does. That signature of his is like, what is that? Like a seismograph?
Yeah,
is that, is that a lie detector? And it's really he's lying. You know.
I like the people who put little eyes and then kind of shade the points a little bit so it looks like a Klan meeting. Little stick figures at a Klan meeting.
Yeah, excellent. So,
but his kid, Donald Jr.
His spawn.
Is
spawn of Trump.
He's trolling in Eastern Europe for some reason.
What's he doing over there?
I don't know.
Is he going to join the Russian army?
We need some more cannon fodder.
Yeah, let's do that, dude.
I'm sure he's looking for money or, you know, in... firing up the bots to, to attack Facebook
probably
or something.
Probably trying to see if he can get more and better coke from the Bulgarian mafia or something.
Well, what's also happened is that some of the trashier newspapers and websites publish pictures of him canoodling with a woman who's not his fiance down in Florida.
Yeah.
And so people speculate he just it got a little hot at home.
Wow.
He had to go on a trip all of a sudden.
What's his fiance? Name?
Oh,
it's Kimberly.
Kimberly Guilfoyle.
Guilfoyle. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
From the dark dimension, I think is where she hails from.
Yeah, daughter of Dormammu. Now, is she the one that shouts?
She's a shouty one.
Yeah,
People like to Photoshop like giant horns in her head. And flames behind her. I don't know if those are photoshopped or real, but
you know, I know our listeners don't need motivation, but listeners, when you're talking with your, you know, family members and friends from, you know, Nina Mwampum Bay or whatever, tell them, do you really want that family to be on the news every single day of the week. I mean, it's trashy.
Don't you just get sick of it if nothing else?
It's just going to, you know, you don't want it's that.
It was exhausting. I mean, when Trump was president, you'd wake up every morning and just kind of dread looking at the news and going, oh, God, oh, we're buying Greenland now. Okay, fine.
Of course we are.
Oh, no, we're going to trade Puerto Rico for Greenland.
Well, Companion, you know, who's does a lot with us, is doing a lot with our space program right now. He was saying that I cannot vote for one of the candidates because that candidate will be president when we land on the moon. And you know, if it's the Republican candidate, he'll be selling off pieces of it. You know? So.
No, he'll be selling green cheese that came from the moon. But, so, and Melania's got a book coming out, or I don't know if it's quite come out yet. There's some review copies floating around, but about her life, and she says Donald Trump is a kind man and very affectionate.
He's a kind of man,
and a good family man. Why he's made so many of them.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Odd timing for her to come up with a book, but I don't know. It's
maybe she sees the handwriting on the wall and she thought, you know, I'll be yesterday's news if I don't get this out right now.
It's also a good way to launder money or get contributions.
Oh, very good.
Oh, I'll buy a million of those.
And it's going right into their
So
good idea.
And then they just go into the...
Should run for office.
They go to the landfill, you know.
You know, why didn't we sell out years ago? We could have made so much money if we just used our powers for evil.
I was thinking about that on the way down. I mean,
you really were.
Well, kind of. I mean, I was thinking about Trump's life, kind of getting ready for the show. And it's like, if he wasn't such a horrible human being, it would be sad. I mean, it's kind of like the Citizen Kane thing where Kane dies at the end, and like nobody's ever loved him or anything, and all he ever cared about was his sled.
Yeah.
And I mean, Trump's kind of like that. Only he doesn't have a sled that he cares about. I mean, he's like nobody's ever really cared for him. I mean, everything
he's
is
the best sledder ever. He's the perfect sledder.
That's true. He would be good at it. But I mean, it's everything he's done. It's in his every relationship has been transactional. Yeah. I mean, you know, half his kids don't even interact with him anymore. And
that's why he needs our love.
I know,
and that is why
that's a big hole.
It certainly is, and that's why the only way to stop the man is to stop loving him. Yeah. He'll shrivel up and die.
It's tough love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, anyway.
But the thing about it is. And our listeners know this. Trump is epiphenomenal. He's just face that, you know, motivates some people. But I mean, the movement towards the kind of ideas that he espouses or that he mimics, I think sometimes he's just a good mimic. These are things that are deep in our American life and have been for years. And they're not going to be eradicated just because that guy doesn't get elected president next time.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason a lot of the billionaires are lined up behind him. I mean, not that they think he's that great or smart or wonderful or, you know, they know that they can get what they want.
Yeah, he's stupid and dumb and uninteresting. But it'll be a hyper-capitalist hellscape, and that's what they want.
Yeah.
And the same thing for the people that, I mean, the implicit deal that people basically offer when they're being a Trump is they say, look, you let me be in charge, and then you, white people, can be in charge of the black people.
Yeah.
And you guys with the penises, you can be in charge of everybody else, and blah, 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 blah. So it's just kind of like, it's like this transactional thing even there, where traditional structures of power are being cemented, whether it's money or gender or race or whatever it is. And that's why all the crazy, you know, basically, you know, racists are attracted to him and all the billionaires are attracted to him because they're all being given some shard of power from the dark master. Yeah. And that's all they want.
Well, and they see things changing too. I mean, they see things changing as far as, you know, gender roles, as far as, people of color, people coming to this country and they don't like that.
Yeah.
And they
status anxiety means I'm going to have to negotiate or compromise with someone.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially
that should be my subordinate.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like I'm by default the top dog here, I like that situation.
Yeah.
Let's not change that.
Yeah, the way God ordained it.
So it's right there in the Bible.
You sprinkle the magic dust of religion on the giant dog turd of racism, and away we go.
Oh, so. At any rate. But there's this corner near where I live that I don't quite understand who owns the land. It's right at the end of Fish Hatchery Road, and there's like a little patch of grass there.
Sure.
And a bunch of Trump signs showed up, a bunch of Republican signs, Hobdi, and then a few Democratic ones showed up, Kamala and some Tammy Baldwin ones. Sure. And then the other night, somebody spray painted over the big Tammy Baldwin one that said Trump 2024 or something. But then the next day, whoever had that went out and got a bigger Tammy Baldwin one. So it's like this arms race.
Wow.
With these battling signs. So now there's this giant Baldwin sign and then a bunch of other Republican ones.
Excellent.
I noticed driving through Iowa and Missouri that a lot of the farmers like putting up giant Trump signs.
Sure. So, yeah. You know. Yeah. And giant Trump is the size he comes in.
Yeah. So. I'd say those farmers should look at that Project 2025 and just do a control F for farm subsidies.
Yeah.
And see what you think of that old Project 2025 then. Yeah. Farmers.
I know. Again, hyper-capitalism. Yeah. Hey, have you had a chance to ride the bus yet? The new Rapid Transit. Well, you know, a companion and I were going to do it on Sunday.
The Rapid Transit?
Rapid Transit. Rapid Transit. It's very fast.
They should have rabbits
on
it.
Yeah, it just leaps right along. No, it's a Rapid Transit, if I can say it.
Right.
But we were going to do it. We were going to do our experiment on the day that it opened, which was last Sunday. But for one reason or another, we really weren't able to. So we're going to do it tomorrow. We're going to take it across town. And it turns out that some folks from the Wisconsin State Journal, they kind of took the hit for us to see whether it really is rapid or rabid enough.
Yeah.
And So one of the reporters took the from the south side to MATC, or Madison College, as they like to call it. And somebody took West Town to East Town. And then somebody else took the Warner Park to the Capitol. And they did find out something very interesting, which is it does actually save time. Now, it doesn't save time if you're taking a car, of course, but it can. I mean, if you think of all the construction and everything else that's always going on in this city and God knows what else, but there's some kind of activity. Some event is eventfully eventing here in Madison all the time. But at any rate, they're comparing it with a bus ride. And what they found is if you take the bus, the new BRT, or BERT, as I like to call it, from the south side to MATC, you'll save 21 minutes.
Wow.
21 minutes on the bus. If you take from West Town to East Town, it'll save you 22 minutes. So it really does save you time to take these buses. And then the intrepid reporters for the Wisconsin State Journal, one of them took the Warner Park to the Capitol line and found out that...
it was never heard from again.
And they never returned. Yeah, they never returned. And the fate
but two out of three came back,
unlearned.
So we're
yeah,
happy
that's
with it.
Right. 66%. We're happy with that. No, it took 22 minutes.
Less.
Let's see. This was actually there was a wait because of something that was out of control on the one that they were on, and then and then there were some grumpy riders apparently on that one. So
had to wait for a herd of ducks to cross the street.
Well, that's the thing. We were coming over today, and I got dropped off by companion today. I usually just take the bus, but we were doing something, and so I got dropped off. And we were up around the square, and you cannot get off the square right now. There's so much construction on all these different sides. There's construction on the West Wash side. There's construction on the King, not Martin Luther King, but Rufus King, the King Street that goes down the hill. And that's all the way down to Woolley Street. That's a mess. And, of course, what I love is how people create their own solutions. I always like, driving should not be about creativity. Driving should be about, this is where my inner German comes out.
Predictability
and following the rules. You can follow the rules. I know we're all about the freedom, but not when it comes to being on the street. So people were doing all sorts of odd things. But at any rate.
So how do they get you off the bus then? Just slow down and you tuck and roll or what?
there's a little chute that kind of like,
it's like the airplanes when they have the emergency exit.
Right, exactly.
That always looks like fun.
The bad part is you're not allowed to bring any of your luggage with you.
So. Well, that's
Leave your bags on the bus. I'm sorry. All right. Well, I understand.
So it saved about a little over 20 minutes.
Yeah, that was the average.
So, and time is money. So it's saving money.
Yeah.
And money is speech.
Yeah.
So that's creating more free speech for us.
But it's
transitive principle.
I was on the bus one time and there was a guy. I was waiting for this elderly man to debus. And he was taking a little while. That's, you know, it's his prerogative. So he's, you know, he's testing it out. And he's going, but the guy behind me didn't realize I was waiting for this other guy. And he starts giving me a bad time. He's like, come on, come on, hurry up, hurry up. And I'm like, okay. And I'm trying to explain to him. He's like, come on, time is money. Time is money. He kept saying that. You work for Epic or something? What is your... And I got off the bus at terminus and I looked at him and said, you're a mental case. I said to him.
You said that?
Yes. Fortunately, he was too busy to stop for a conversation, he scampered off. But I just looked and said, you, sir, are a mental case.
You just said that because you knew he was in a hurry and he wouldn't have enough time.
No, I thought he was a mental case.
Oh, okay.
What is your deal? I didn't think he was a mental case. I was trying to embarrass and humiliate him because he was obviously, like, way type A. There are medications for you, sir.
So,
and I know because I'm on three of them. Yeah,
right. I recognize the side effects.
I see that. I get the mirroring thing here.
So in Springfield, Ohio, where they are not eating pets.
No, I've been to Springfield. It's a lovely town. Yeah.
But this is actually a cool story. Residents are flocking to Haitian-owned restaurants.
Good for you.
And supporting them and showing solidarity with them.
Hear, hear.
So that's really cool, I thought.
Thank you. Thank you, Buckeyes.
That was a nice response to say, I did see there was a sign outside of a Chicago hot dog stand that said, immigrants eat our dogs. Popsy's running away.
Yeah. I think he doesn't understand language well, but he's picking up the vibe, I think.
Oh, you know, I've mentioned a few times that Clopsy likes to he gets angry at animals on TV sometimes.
Oh, me too.
And have you seen the baby hippo that's taken the world by storm?
What's his name? Mudang. Yeah.
Mudang. Yeah. And he's just like the cutest little thing. Oh, yeah. And I think it was John Oliver the other night, and he had a little thing on the baby hippo.
Yeah.
And Clopsy got so mad. Madder than I've ever seen him before. I thought he was jealous. I thought he was going to fly through the TV. He was growling and barking.
Oh, that's hysterical.
Jumping up and down at this cute little baby hippo.
Wow. So I was looking up hippos. Do you know what their closest relative is?
Horses.
That's a good guess, but it's not. It's porpoises.
Really?
Yeah, porpoises and dolphins, because they are, they had a common ancestor millions of years ago, and some of them decided to go. I know
that guy.
Hard to the water, you know. They were like, okay, it's all water all the time. And the other one was like, yeah, we'll dabble around in the water. But yeah, they are more closely related to cetaceans than they are.
They're just the ones who couldn't make up their minds.
Yeah,
they were.
Yeah,
underwater.
Well, spend a lot of time in the water.
I don't know. They're both good.
They just don't want to commit. I admire them for that.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, just a little factoid I thought I'd share with the folks. Hey, there's a watchdog group that's been looking into our air traffic control system. Anything that has to do with an airplane these days is a little worrisome, right? But there's a federal watchdog group, the Government Accountability Office. You've heard of them.
Yeah.
And they did an evaluation of the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA's, 138 air traffic controller systems, and found that 51 are considered unsustainable. That's a bad thing. And another 54 are deemed potentially unsustainable. In other words, it's in the mail. It's on the way. It's not. They aren't bad yet. So that's 138. Let's see. That's 105 of one. So 33 of them are okay, according to the government accountability offices. These are the accountability office examination was prompted by a bunch of system outages that occurred back in January of 23. Which resulted in thousands of flights across the country being grounded. The FAA's Notice to Air Emissions System provides critical information to pilots about hazards like runway closures and airspace restrictions. And the outage was determined to have been caused by contract personnel unintentionally deleting files. So like everything, of course, you know, Reagan said when, you know, the worst thing to worry about is the government's coming. No, the worst thing to worry about is the private sector is coming.
We can do this cheap. It's all about shareholder value.
So they're trying to update these systems, but of course, you know, again, nobody wants to spend the money for this stuff, so they're limping along with aging FAA systems, and many of them are relying on outdated software languages, like, I don't know.
COBOL,
yeah, I was thinking. Some of them are over 50 years old.
Yeah.
I learned Snowball back in the day. That was the successor.
Never heard of that.
Yeah, that was the successor to COBOL. It was slightly more language-friendly, like natural language-friendly,
sure,
than COBOL was. But, I mean, apparently some of these things are running on programming languages from half a century.
Cuneiform or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the clay tablets. Always, you got to line those
babies
up.
You got to be careful
up
when you put them into the
into the feeder, yeah.
In the CD drive there. Like, we got an email. We take emails at the Mel and Floyd mailbag.
I won't tell you what we do with them.
Gmail.com. Yeah. Sometimes we read them.
Yeah.
But this is from Tal. He's a longtime listener. I'm not quite following this, but I'll share it with everybody. It says, the subject line says, "Your Nixon shirt has a quote."
Okay.
And the quote is, "Never forget, the press is the enemy."
No, he did say that.
"The establishment is the enemy. The professors are the enemy."
Yep.
"Professors are the enemy." He said that twice.
Yeah.
"Write that on a blackboard 100 times and never forget it."
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, if I was a professor that would, like Nixon, I probably would make them write that 100 times. Because that's just the kind of thing that a Nixon professor would do, right?
Sure. And then Tal wants to know, what image do we add to the shirt to go with that quote? I don't know. And then he also says that Vance just cribbed the quote this week. Well, yeah, he's reading right from that hymn book.
I think of Nixon as the great visionary because, you know, in terms of where the party went, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
The difference today is they're overt about it. Nixon was cleverer because he was sneakier about it. But, I mean, at the same time as he's saying, oh, yeah, you know, I believe in civil rights and so on, he was buddying up to the worst segregationists of the Deep South. And he tried to pass himself off as being reasonable by giving the baby its bottle on certain things. But meanwhile, in his heart of hearts, secretly, he's doing all sorts of terrible things and would have really liked to have taken us in some pretty dark places.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the problem today is it's too overt.
Yeah.
But, you know. But, yeah, a lot of those animosities and weird, you know, who's the real elite stuff, that all started with good old Sticky Dick.
Spiro,
yeah. Well, Spiro was his mouthpiece. But, yeah. That was the... the voiceless head of Agnew, yeah.
Oh, what else is going on here?
Oh, what a McGovern I've been.
All right, I don't want to do too much Trump stuff, but this is good.
But do just enough.
He called Marjorie Taylor Greene shy and quiet.
Oh, yeah. Like all roller derby queens are.
Shy and quiet. And one more.
He's probably trying to be funny.
Maybe. Oh, I never thought of that.
Yeah. Because
he does think he's kind of this Borscht Belt comedian.
Yeah, he's a jokester.
Yeah. So, and one more Trump family thing. Remember when Jared Kushner's private equity firm, that's all in quotes, there, got like $6 billion of Saudi money to handle?
Yeah.
And, apparently,
does he get some kind of fee or something for
that? Yeah, a percentage of it. And apparently, according to some records released, Kushner's firm hasn't paid anything back to the Saudis yet, as far as like, you know, capital gains or interest or bond payments, you know, things that typically finance companies do.
Yeah.
So
I think that Eric Adams is taking some money.
Wow.
$6 billion. That's pretty good.
He's a piece of work. Yeah, I mean, we knew from day one. Yeah, it's like this guy is trouble.
Yeah,
I mean, this guy is like he's out there.
Yeah, his rhetoric was pretty notable when he was running for office.
Yeah. It's not well, I mean, you see stuff like that, and then that's kind of just like that's the thermometer reading hot. You know, it's like, okay, this guy thinks he's a narcissist. This guy thinks rules don't apply to him.
Right.
Then so you extrapolate that, and you get the stuff that he's tied up in. So,
I was kind of surprised it was Turkey. I don't know why. I just kind of like, really, Turkey. Turkey has an influence operation out there. I guess they kind of need one, but I didn't really think about it reaching into the U.S. in that way.
Yeah.
But the Saudi thing, they're going to get their dividends. I mean, it just hasn't come to pass yet. I mean, they're paying good money.
They're
for
placing
this.
A bet.
They're placing a bet. Yeah, very good. Like, that's exactly right.
Like anybody who
could be a Saudi prince, Mel. You got the inner working. See, why didn't we turn to evil? Why did we turn to evil? Imagine how wealthy you could be.
I should have a talk with my kid and sit down and say, you're young enough now. You can, you could turn to evil.
You could school her. help her out.
She'd be good at being evil. She's pretty sharp at
those
things.
She could go back to business school and... get an MBA.
Sure, go down to Chicago. And it's like,
master of badassery.
Here, like crash a Latin American economy.
exactly. It's the least you can do. Please, Papa.
What did I see? Oh, what country was it? I wish I could remember. They introduced, quote, austerity measures. And then, it was like 6 months ago. And now, of course, the country's in just a wreck. And so...
Here's a little happy note. I just want to get in before we go to the break. A Houston bankruptcy judge ruled on Tuesday of this week that assets from the conspiracy theorist Alex Jones' InfoWars empire can be auctioned off to help pay families of the Sandy Hook mass shooting. So the auction will be set for mid-November. I'd love to get some of the InfoWars stuff. It includes the website. Social media accounts, broadcasting equipment, product trademarks, inventory owned by Free Speech Systems, which is the InfoWars parent company. So, all remember Mr. Jones. He spent years spreading lies that the 2012 shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School that killed 20 first graders and 6 teachers was a hoax. And the people who were the victims, parents and others in the community, were very unhappy. And they sued him. 10 people sued him for defamation and rewarded $1.4 billion in damages in trials in Texas and Connecticut. But they weren't going to see any of that money because he was trying to basically, get out of it by going into bankruptcy. But the bankruptcy, whatever assets are accrued as a result of the bankruptcy, these are going to go to the various families.
Well, very good. Well, let's enter the auction. Let's get a couple of microphones or something.
That would be great. Except I imagine there'd be so much spittle on those babies. Yeah, it'd be hard to clean those.
I don't think we want to get our mouth close to those things.
Exactly. Some kind of like weird right-wing germ will leap off or something.
Well,
I thought when I first saw that guy, I thought he was on somebody else's they were running. Maybe it was like Jon Stewart or somebody. I thought it was a joke. I thought, really, is that a real guy?
Yeah.
He had that bizarre voice and he was so over the top. Yeah. I thought it was made up.
Like
I thought it was
like a pro wrestler.
I thought
something.
It was a parody of that.
Yeah.
But we don't have parody anymore. We just have, it's all the real thing, right? The parody is the real thing.
Hey, you're listening to the Mel and Floyd Show here on WORT 89.9 on the FM. You might be listening on the internet at WORTFM.org. You could be listening in the future because we put this show and all of our shows up on the archives page. And you could also be listening via Spotify or Apple Pods, thanks to my mindless minion D-Cubed, who does the file management and lets us get this stuff out there for podcasting. So thanks, D-Cubed. All right, we're going to take a brief break here, play some announcements, and then...
We're going to talk a little bit about inflation.
Inflation.
Yeah. There's a very important item that is going up in price right now.
Okay. And also Wisconsin farm waste. Not your waste, the farm's waste. I want to get on the good foot.
Support for this program comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street, specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in-Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
WORT would like to thank the following local restaurants and businesses who provided meals for our hardworking volunteers during our recent fall pledge drive. Van Dung, Bonzo, Cardinal Bar, Cooper's Tavern, Einstein's Coffee and Bagels, Festival Foods, Glass Nickel Pizza West, Hong Kong Cafe, Ian's Pizza on Francis Street, Lao Lang Zhang, Marigold Kitchen, Melio's on MLK, Original Pancake House on University Avenue, Soups I Did It Again in Spring Green, Teddy Wedgers, Wilma's Fund LGBT Assistance, and the Willie Street Co-op. WORT would like to extend our gratitude to these restaurants for helping to put the community in WORT Community Radio through their donations of food. Gratefully yours for nearly five decades, this is WORT 89.9 FM, Madison.
We're back. So the Oklahoma superintendent of schools,
okay,
a guy named Ryan Walters, has called for asked for $6 million to purchase Bibles for classrooms, sure, in their new proposed budget.
Are they going to be approved Trump Bibles?
Well, then you can only get about three of them.
Yeah, I know. That's the one that takes out. There's only nine commandments. Adultery is gone.
Yeah,
that,
yeah. They just sharpied through it.
Yeah.
No, we don't want that one.
That one doesn't work.
So yeah, so that's in the budget. He's asking for $6 million to get Bibles into the schools in Oklahoma.
Bibles are easy to find. They're all over the place.
They're free.
They're free. Yeah. Guess, go to a Motel 6 and
they'll give them.
Go
to
through
you.
The drawers. You know, Oklahoma, get with it.
Plus, it's all over the internet. I mean, you could download it in second.
Exactly. Thank you. How hard would it hit these kids? I mean, are they writing on tablets? I mean, come on. Yeah, just go to the internet, and you can find the Bible.
There's this idea that if you put a Bible in the room, all of a sudden things get better.
It's all just a publicity stunt.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all it is.
I'm a Christian. You're not.
Yeah.
So, they're evil. So there's some, I think it's a Hovde ad where they're talking about boys playing girls sports and, you know, bathrooms and
dogs and mating with cats.
Yeah, I know. It was like, it's like, oh, come on.
Well, I'm a
all these proponents of girls sports, you know, they go back a long ways where they really advocated for these girls sports.
Yeah,
to,
of course they did.
To get funding and to be, you know, treated equally. And and they're big fans of them too, apparently, of swimming and
it's all contextless, right? I mean, every time I hear Trump, you know, oozing out to YMCA or whatever, or Macho Man or something, it's like, do you rubes even know where this comes from?
And he's dancing like this.
Yeah, he's doing the double Hannity. We'll call it
the double Bull Bart.
If you've ever seen him get a Hannity job on that show, you know what I'm talking about. Hey, the price of Girl Scout cookies are going up.
Ooh.
Up by a dollar. And what is Kamala going to do about it?
It's the cartel.
It is. You're exactly right. It's the cartel. This is in a video message, Lisa Smith, she's the CEO of the Badgerland Council, and don't mess with her. She said that this was not a decision that was taken lightly, but they said they have to keep them competitive and sustainable. That's an interesting use of the word sustainable. But all of them are going to be $6, including the gluten-free ones, which are already $6, by the way. But they're all going to be the same price now. So they're saying that because of rising costs across the board, it's impacting cookie costs at every point. Ingredients, packaging, transportation, warehousing. And here's the quote from Smith. Literally every aspect of the cookie program has been impacted. That sounds like a CEO talking. Last year, she said Badgerland managed to absorb the increased costs, but it can't do it anymore. So Badgerland Council joins all the other Girl Scout councils in Wisconsin. So this is the one for the Madison area and the bordering states in the price increase. So, but here's a positive thing. Even though the price is going up, the troops are also going to start getting more of the money. So they're going to start
wetting their beaks.
Yeah. That's what it is. Okay. They're learning early. Yeah, right. You know, they're starting with
they had a meeting of the seven families and decided to set the prices.
The Badgerland group, the Badgerland Council, has decided it's moving to a flat rate structure where troops will earn $1 for each box sold, no matter what. And you know what? That's the highest rate of any of the Girl Scout councils in the country.
Oh, very good.
So we here in Madison try to do it right. So it's got to go up, but they're going to give more to the gals, so that's good.
Yeah, I have a question on how we could address that.
Yeah.
Now, the price is going up, right?
Yes.
So if we put a tariff on it,
yeah,
would the price go down then?
No.
Is that how that works?
In fact,
I think that's how I understand it.
You are so clever, because the very next story I was going to share is this analysis of the Trump quote-unquote economic plan. I mean, that's, you know, it's anytime. I mean... It's like when your kid does a finger painting,
oh,
and you go,
nice.
Oh, that's so beautiful,
let's
darling.
Put it on the fridge.
I'll put that on the fridge. Yeah, it's like, oh, good for you, Donald.
He made an economic plan.
Yeah, he made an economic plan. Yeah. Oh, let's all clap. That's for my friends, the Prados, by the way, because every time their little daughter would make a boom boom when she was little, they would clap. This is a bad idea. Very bad idea.
You know how I taught Melvina to be potty trained by, you know, that the little jingle from the movies, let's all go to the lobby.
Oh, yeah.
I changed that into let's all go to the potty, and we would sing it, and she loved it. Let's all go to the potty.
My mother just relied on my natural fastidiousness. So, yeah. You know,
and she had a gun, too.
My inner Felix. Yeah. So, and yeah, had a gun. That was that.
Are you done? Gun cocking. Yes, Mom.
Yes, Mom. That's exactly what I would have said.
So, okay, so the tariffs.
The top economists published a nonpartisan evaluation of what they expect would happen.
Did they have tears in their eyes?
They did. Big, strong, big, strong men with
big
tears
strong
in their
economists.
Eyes. Yeah, yeah. They said that the plan to deport, now this is a two-pronged crazy, okay, guys, you've got to get the whole picture. He's planning to deport millions of migrants,
all right,
which provides our labor force, and he's going to impose new tariffs, which means that we can't get things from other nations without paying some money for it. So according to the Peterson Institute for International Economics, they say that this is a really, really bad idea. They said that it's going to cause it's going to slash economic growth. It's going to cause employment and inflation to go down. Inflation to go up and employment to go down. Economists have been very skeptical about this, the viability of many of his proposals. According to Warwick, this is a great name. He's Warwick J. McKibben of Megan Hogan and Marcus. So they know what they're talking about because they've got three names in their firm. While Trump promises to make the foreigners pay, our analysis shows his policies will end up making Americans pay the most. The study from the Peterson Institute, which, by the way, is not some crazy, you know, lefty socialist whatever. It's a classic free market neoliberal place, right? They looked at the effects of these three prominent parts of his agenda: deporting 8.3 million unauthorized migrants, levying 10% tariffs, and 60% tariffs on imports for China. And to add to the mix, by the way, he said he wants to basically make the Fed dependent on the will of the master, right? That's another one of his things, less independence for the Federal Reserve. They said that this is basically going to be a worst case scenario of the combined influence of these various policies. Businesses are going to be forced to raise wages and prices to make up for lost workers, and consumers are going to face higher prices as a result of tariffs on imports and retaliation from other countries. This is the thing. This is the classic case of the bully. He doesn't think that the people that he's bullying are people and that they might have some choices that they make in response. So there's going to be retaliation once you start setting these trade barriers. And, of course, because the Federal Reserve, if it's going to be under the control of the ideologues and crazies that are associated with Trump, are probably not going to be able to do anything to help out. And so they figure that it's going to be – they're thinking the consumer prices could possibly in the next 4 years rise by as much as 28% with a peak inflation rate of almost 10%. They also estimate if we were to really put Trump's ideas into effect, ideas with a quote again, that gross domestic product could be about 10%, 9.7% lower, shrinking output and dampening consumer demand. They also think that employment could drop in the United States by as much as 10%. So this guy, people love him. He gets up there, he shouts at the people they don't like. He tells the billionaires he's going to help them out. But what's going to happen if they actually do these things is our economy could easily go into a tailspin. And no one's talking about that.
Yeah. Well, and the billionaires like that because they, when there's chaos and things are collapsing, that's right. When they can swoop in with their resources. I mean, this is what happened in 2008 when the real estate collapsed. Sure, yeah. They came in and just bought tons of stuff.
If you're going to have the law of the jungle, you need a jungle. So he's making the jungle.
The Jungle Preservation Act here. So, yeah, those are the big types of things, not the silly nicknames he comes up with if people...
Right.
I don't know. Just
yes, I mean,
whether somebody worked at McDonald's or not.
Yeah, and who knows if these are even his ideas.
Well, they're not.
But I mean, you're trying to vote on what a person says they're going to do.
Yeah.
Some vision of what things will be like for you in the future. But all we do is vote our hate, you know? And it's just like, well, you're actually going to get totally boned by this guy.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, yeah, but he hates the same people I do. That's why it seems like Satanism to me. It's like Satan's not out for you, but he hates all the same people you do.
Well, with the retaliation, I mean, the last time he tried this, China retaliated by buying zero soybeans for a while.
Yeah, and then they had the extra cost of supporting those farmers so they wouldn't get wise to how stupid all this stuff was.
Right, right. They said, yeah, here, we're going to give you some money to make up for these nasty Chinese people who aren't buying your soybeans anymore. Right. It's like, well, they're not doing it because of, you started this trade war, which are easy to win.
A Chinese friend of mine said the biggest, his family was affected by this. People in China love chicken feet. Like chicken feet.
Yeah, sure.
And they basically use them kind of like as a dipping. It's something you eat.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of vernacular cuisines. It's kind of like, it's what poor people used to eat, but now it's kind of like cool,
Sure.
And they said the meatiest chicken feet, not surprisingly, in the world come from the U.S. Yeah. Yeah. We have the most obese chicken of anybody, right? And so it's like people were getting very upset in China because they weren't getting those nice meaty chicken feet from the U.S. Yeah. And it was like, what's wrong with you people?
Yeah.
You
know? Well, then there was another thing with Canada and timber or something. I mean, it's like, just multiply that by 1,000.
So you got all these fat chickens laying around the United States completely unused.
Yeah. And you don't have any wood to build a coop.
Exactly.
Factory farms in Wisconsin, speaking of farms, produce 33 billion pounds of waste every year, about four times the amount of waste created by the state's human population.
Wow.
According to a new report.
We're doing our part.
I'm trying. Food and Water Watch. They're tracking the growth of factory farming across the country. Wisconsin ranked 10th on a list of states that produce the highest amount of waste in the country.
Yeah.
Iowa ranked first with 109 billion pounds of factory farming waste. So they're more than three times.
I think they have more pigs than
Wisconsin.
We do.
Yeah, they do. They're into the pigs.
They're pig heavy.
Yeah. So, but So. Wow. So we're right up there in the waste. Yeah, the pigs are difficult because you get those like lagoons of pig poop and I'm serious.
No, I agree. I know, but just the visual of a lagoon of pig poop is just, when I think of lagoon, I think of like
the creature from.
No, I think of beautiful, South Sea Island or something, and we're all sitting around the lagoon.
Oh, okay.
The lagoon of pig manure. It changes the image substantially. Let's go down to the lagoon, darling. No, that's quite all right. Thank you.
Let's see. The Wausau mayor removed the drop boxes, the ballot boxes. He didn't like them, so he's a can-do kind of guy. He got a little cart and rolled it away.
The AG's looking into that, by the way.
I hope so. Yeah, you can't just do that.
No,
I mean,
it's legal in Wisconsin, no matter what you think about it. It's just like you drivers out there. It's the rules. Come on.
But that shows so much of the mentality. It's like, I don't like this. And I know it was a stunt. I mean, because he put on like a hard hat and safety glasses and stuff. So, but still, it's like, no, you can't just, if you disagree with it, you can't just roll it away.
So I got a story here from Germany. Let's see. Well, actually, it's replicated from different researchers. There's a guy in Germany by the name of Kai Kaspar, who's been studying gibbons and has come to the conclusion that gibbons dance. And interestingly enough, many of the key characteristics that we see in human dance are also present in gibbons' moves. And I know that guy, by the way. I've seen him out sometimes. No, but they basically just they like to dance. And Dr. Kaspar, he teamed up with a person from France, Camille Croix, who is a primatologist at the University of Paris, and a linguistics professor from Oslo by the name of Priti Patel Grosch. And they define dance in terms of an intentional movement that's rhythmic and doesn't serve a physical purpose. That's the definition of play, and there's no practical goal in mind. And they had a gibbon who was from by the name of Dorman, who was from a primate rescue center in Vietnam. And they certified people who worked with crested gibbons. That's the particular kind of gibbon they had, about whether they'd seen the animals dancing and analyzed videos from zoos. And most of the time, the dancers were females. They performed. They would sway. They would dip. They would pose. And often, they would look over their shoulders to make sure that people were watching. I'm not making that up. That really happened. What do you think of my dance? Pretty sexy, huh?
I'm picturing Elaine from Seinfeld doing her dance. Yeah, her dance. let's see. Newsmax settled its lawsuit with Smartmatic. It was one of the one of the ballot. Voting machines
that they defamed, basically.
Well, I mean, Fox News had to pay like a huge thing. I don't know, it was to them or to the other
was,
one.
It was. What's the name of that other company?
The other one.
Yeah, it wasn't them. Yeah.
But anyway, so Newsmax saw that writing on the wall here.
And they're a smaller company.
They're very small.
They don't have the money.
Yeah, I mean, there was talk earlier that this would put them under, but they've got some kind of agreement now. Yeah. So. Apparently it was a little narrower.
It was a secret agreement.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
We don't know what's going on.
It is. It is secret. Yeah.
So. Hey, there was a new statue unveiled in Washington D.C. Did you hear about this?
No.
It was a there's in the U.S. Capitol. There's a hall of statues, and each state gets to select two statues to place within the Capitol, and. Basically, they've got two there now from the state of Arkansas. They had formerly had, let's see, who they had two prior statues were people from the 18th and 19th century that they thought would be nice. But they've replaced them. And so basically, let's see, they replaced one of the statues with a statue of Daisy Bates. That was earlier this year. That's right, yeah. And Bates was mentored the 9 black children who went to the desegregated Little Rock Central High School in 1957. So she was a teacher. So that was, they want Arkansas to be represented by something nice, something positive, something innovative, something progressive. Well, the other statue has been put up is Johnny Cash, the man in black. He's now, he's got a statue in the U.S. Capitol, and of course, he was a big storyteller. My parents used to, when they had their little band when I was a kid, used to sing his songs quite often, and things like "I Walk the Line," "Ring of Fire," and so on. So the statue depicts the singer with a guitar slung across his shoulder,
and a Bible in his hand. Not the Trump Bible, thank goodness.
He is wearing the Trump tennis shoes, though. The high tops.
Bob Dylan, let's see, was quoted at the event where the statue was unveiled.
He said,
one of the best compliments that apparently that Johnny Cash ever got was from a Snoop Dogg, who called him a real American gangster.
Have they cloned Snoop Dogg or something? I mean,
he is ubiquitous. Like, really is omnipresent.
He was in the backseat of my car on the way down here trying to sell me something.
Yeah, like, something about the Olympics. I don't know. I can't remember what it was now. So, yeah, he's everywhere. And good on him. You know?
Yeah, I mean, what the heck?
You know, you get to a certain point, you become a personality, and you sell that, you know.
Right, so.
That's good.
It's like the people we grew up with who were stand-up comics.
Yeah.
And then some of them got, like, you know, regular TV shows, sitcoms. Yeah. So now they're all game show hosts, you know.
Well, I just read today that Dame Maggie Smith passed away.
Oh, yeah.
A woman who had a storied, you know, history on, you know, Broadway, on you know, movies, and television, and she had a wonderful life as an actress, and then she did that last thing for what was the name of that silly TV show that everyone loved? No, Maggie Smith. I can't remember.
Downton Abbey.
Downton Abbey. Thank you. Goodness, it went right out of my head. And she played the Dowager Countess on that. And then that was it. Like, she was an old grumpy lady. And
she'd
done
headline.
All this spectacular work. And she was kind of like, she said, I can't go. She was towards the end of her life. She's like, I can't go anywhere now. Because they all remembered her for that.
Oh, that's funny.
So she became a personality, basically. She went from being an actress to being a personality.
Sure.
And she did it well. So, I think she was like 89 or something. Mm-hmm. So she hung in there.
Yeah. I have trouble with actors like that, Jeff Goldblum or Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all kind of like playing themselves in every movie now, and it's like I can't get over the fact that that's Jeff Goldblum. That's
I was watching. So-and-so. We were watching Chaos, which is the series.
Yeah, that's what
did
made
you
me think.
I
watched some.
He was so Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
But you know, that was the way actors were back in the so-called golden age of Hollywood. No matter what movie Bogart was in, he was still Bogart in every single movie.
Right.
Or Hepburn or whoever it was, Cary Grant. They were all just, they were just fit into that role based on the fact that they had a certain persona that, that the fans wanted
or the
to
comics.
See.
You got, Chaplin or Jerry Lewis or the Three Stooges. They were all the same. They were in different environments. So. Speaking of movies, the Wisconsin 48-hour film project horror movies are showing at the outdoor drive-in movie theater in Jefferson tonight. So at the outdoor theater, and this is a project where they have people make movies in 48 hours.
Okay.
And then so they're going to show them at the outdoor drive-in. It's on Highway 18 in the outdoor theater in Jefferson. So gates open at 4 and movies start at sunset, which is like 4:30 or something nowadays, isn't it?
It seems that way, doesn't it?
It does seem
really,
that way.
The days are closing in, as my mother used to say.
Yeah, so if you're looking for something kind of different to do, you can go to the Outdoor Theater in Jefferson and see the Wisconsin 48 Hours Horror and Sci-Fi Film Selection.
Wow, that does sound great.
Bunch of little short films, so that does sound like fun. So. All right, we got about a minute left here. You got anything quick you want to get in?
Oh, I just wanted to, comrade.
Comrade?
Yeah, I had a funny conversation with a companion the other day, and I was going on and on about capitalism, and he said, all right, comrade pants. Yeah. I heartily take that title.
But I got a Trump flyer the other day. It had Kamala Harris dressed up like a Soviet soldier.
Oh, excellent.
Soviet Politburo person.
There was a story this week that just said OpenAI is going to go from a nonprofit research institute to a for-profit corporation accountable to shareholders. So so we're all doomed. Just so you know, that you heard it here first.
Have a nice weekend.
You heard it here first.
Just a quick headline here. New York Post Wisconsin campaign reporter was a paid consultant for the Wisconsin GOP. So they're just laying it right out there now.
Yeah,
All right, time to declare the weekend.
What are you doing this weekend?
Well, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm getting a little more mobile now. I can maybe start doing stuff, which would be nice. But
you know. Doing some, I don't know, wind sprints.
Rock climbing or something.
Well, I'll be keeping my eye out and along the side of the road to make sure you haven't. Are you riding your bike yet?
No, not outside. Yeah. No, I'm on the stationary bike and walking in the pool and doing a lot of PT. So my PT people are wonderful, by the way. I just want to get that in there. So,
yeah.
Love them. So, all right, it's 2 o'clock. You are listening to WRT 89.9 FM Madison. Stick around. The kiosk is next. After that, Who Cooks For You with The Real Jaguar. Pants, it was great to see you.
You too, buddy.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Friday, September 27th.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1878. That was the day that socialist author Upton Sinclair was born in Baltimore, Maryland. A prolific writer, Sinclair wrote nearly 100 books and other publications. Upton Sinclair's father and father's relatives had been wealthy Southerners, but thanks to the Civil War and its aftermath, the family was left in financial ruins. His mother was from a wealthy Episcopalian family and was very strict. Sinclair often stayed with her wealthy parents. These family experiences growing up gave Sinclair an insight into how both the rich and poor lived. Sinclair studied at the City College of New York, and for a time at Columbia University. He went on to write several popular novels that explored the experiences of working people in the rapidly industrializing United States. The Flivver King explored the impact of Henry Ford on auto production. Oil focused on the oil industry in Southern California. But Sinclair is best remembered for his classic expose of the Chicago meatpacking industry, The Jungle. The book was fiction, but based in fact. In 1904, he spent 7 weeks working undercover in Chicago's meatpacking plants to get material for the book. The Jungle was published in 1906 and was immediately a bestseller. It was originally published in serial form in a socialist newspaper. Sinclair said that he wrote the novel intending to set forth the breaking of human hearts by a system which exploits the labor of men and women for profit. The novel led to congressional legislation and federal regulation of the meatpacking industry. It helped